1863 was the pivotal year in the American Civil War. That year, 1,000 operatives were employed on the foot of Springfield Street in a complex of 19th-century buildings, Lincoln's Arsenal, on the Chicopee River. The Ames Sword Company was established in the Cabotville section of Springfield in 1829. Starting out as a small cutlery company, it grew into a major manufacturer of military hardware during the Mexican War. Following the Mexican War, the company established a successful cannon and sword export business. The mobile Ames 6-pounder was a popular seller in Europe and in the Middle East. American manufactured goods were competitively priced and well made. During the post-Mexican War years, James Tyler Ames developed a strong business relationship with several southern states. The results of the Mexican War and the expansion of slavery into the American West. Events signaled the beginning of a debate concerning the ownership of human beings. Nathan Peabody Ames died at the age of 43, and his brother James Tyler Ames assumed the full operation of the company. During the 1850s, the Ames Company was still making swords and heavy ordnance. The company was destined to become the nation's leading producer of gun-making equipment, gun-stocking equipment, gauging instruments, stock-turning and smoothing machinery, and sophisticated barrel-rolling machinery were in full production at the Riverworks. Southern state militias continued to place large orders for these new and sophisticated Ames products. While Ames continued to produce ordnance and to supply the southern states, hundreds of slaves were escaping north via the Underground Railroad. It was said that Reverend E.B. Clark of the First Congregational Church had runaway slaves in the parsonage on Chicopee Street. In Chicopee Falls, the Second Congregational Church, there young Reverend Richard Knight left Chicopee with 100 followers known as Free Soilers, who were soon to fight slavers in the embattled territory of Kansas. When abolitionist leader William Lloyd Garrison spoke at the old Cabot Hall, he made a pointed reference to the Ames Company and their southern customers. In the late 1850s, Emerson Gaylord was placed in charge of the company's leather goods division. The company's best customer was the slave state of Virginia. In 1860, that state militia was the largest army in the United States, even larger than the United States Army. In June of 1846, John Brown established a wool business in Springfield, Massachusetts. The business was quite successful, but soon Brown's ties to the militant Boston abolitionist movement left him little time for his business. R.A. Chapman was John Brown's Springfield attorney and a major stockholder in both the Ames Company and the Massachusetts Arms Company. Timothy W. Carter, managing director of the Massachusetts Arms Company, supplied Brown with 200 guns at a reduction of 50%. He said he wished to help in your project of protecting the free settlers of Kansas. 3 years later, old Osawatomie Brown would raid the United States Arsenal at Harper's Ferry, Virginia. He was captured, tried, and executed for treason. A martyr to the North, a maniac villain to the South. As the Civil War began, Union troops sang, "John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave. His soul goes marching on." In the climactic year of 1860, the Commonwealth of Virginia purchased $100 worth of cannons, ammunition, and gun-making equipment in Chicopee. Added to this order were 10,000 additional battle sabers, armaments guaranteed for delivery before June 30, 1860. Following the election of Abraham Lincoln, the federal government imposed an embargo on arms shipments to the secessionist states. With this restriction of trade, all finished goods at the Ames Works were directed to the arsenal at Springfield. The armory using Ames machinery in 1862, produced over 100,000 rifles for the Union Army. The wartime records of the Ames Manufacturing Company tell the story of its fantastic growth. In June of 1861, James Tyler Ames received his first major order for 18,000 battle sabers. Before the war was over, the 158,794 legendary Chicopee steel blades would be sent to federal troops. When the Civil War broke out in 1861, the total population of Chicopee, Massachusetts was 7,261. The war severely tested the resources of the little town. The military recruitment quota, when the war ended in 1865, had been exceeded by 48 men. During the four-year war, 680 locals had volunteered to serve. Chicopee men served in the 10th, 27th, 31st, 37th, 46th, and parts of the 21st, 34th, and 57th Volunteer Massachusetts Infantry Regiments and the 1st Massachusetts Cavalry. And some served in the United States Navy and the Merchant Marine. The USS Chicopee would serve with distinction in the Southern Coastal Campaigns. Chicopee natives Arthur MacArthur and Charles Tracy would win the nation's highest honor. Chicopee volunteers fought bravely at Antietam, New Bern, Foster's Mills, and in the capture of New Orleans, Louisiana. The library has a nearly comprehensive listing of the military records of each of the town's fighting men. George Dexter Robinson, a graduate of Harvard College and the principal of Chicopee Center High School, volunteered to compile the individual records. 150 years ago, the boys of 61 saved the Republic. The Phillips Guards of the Otis Chapman Post of the Grand Army of the Republic led the solemn march to dedicate the town hall and consecrate the Civil War memorial tablets engraved with the date, rank, unit, and final action of Chicopee's 72 fallen heroes.